The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Geeks Under the Influence podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of RVA Magazine, Loot Crate, Amazon.com, or their employees. Listener discretion is advised. Fuck off if you don't like it.
Mike the Hobbit from Geeks Under the Influence here with MC Lars that just played a show with Cuckoo Kangaroo at the Canal Club. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Mike. I'm glad we could talk.
First time that I heard you was actually a conglomeration track with Whitey Cracker and Shaver the Dark Lord, Do the Bruce Campbell. Hot, hot track, and that turned me on to a lot of your other stuff. One thing that I wanted to talk about is the difference between a normal nerdcore show and doing a tour with Cuckoo Kangaroo. It's got to be different.
Yeah, you know, my set list is it's more literature song-based for the, you know, a lot of the audience is teachers and their kids. Stuff like the Circle Pits, that's kind of confusing for kids, so I try to be like very careful and like very slow with stuff. Like normal show would be more people running around. It's a different kind of thing, but ultimately it's like you know if you can be entertaining for like drunk hip-hop fans, it's very similar. It's big broad movements and like call and response, and I've incorporated more like dance movements into my set that Cuckoo Kangaroo do so well, so I feel like it's made me more versatile, and it's very different. Our shows are all like, it's like before 6 o'clock and we'll be out of here by six. Like, it's very different than like with some of the hip hop shows. We're out of the venues like 2 a.m., you know?
Yeah.
So it's very different, but it's like, it's cool, you know?
Was there anything that you've learned from working with kids that has made you realize stuff about working the drunk crowd at a normal hip hop show?
I mean, certain things are timeless. Like you mentioned the Bruce Campbell thing, like, that's something people 30 and up would know. But little kids, you would just say, oh, this is a zombie song. You don't have to. I think Cuckoo have a great thing where they don't, their pop culture stuff, it's like they hit broad topics. Whereas with the nerdcore rappers, it's like, this is a character's friend from the third level of the seventh Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And it's like, how niche can you be? Which ultimately makes your genre special, but it limits it. But with Cuckoo, it's like, there's power in broad strokes, you know?
Sure,
like,
sure.
Like the Cat Party song is so ridiculous, but it can relate to any ages. But also, it's also like, there's like a, you know, a childlike love with nerdcore about like nostalgia and remembering things we loved as kids. And so it's cool, man. It's like, I've learned a lot from them in that going forward, I want to do both songs that are like pop culture, but also songs that are like very broad, you know?
Fair enough. Now, how did you get aligned with this tour? Was that something that that mutual friends, or did they approach you, or you approach them? How did this go about?
In 2015, we were on Warped Tour together, and we played the same stage.
I did not know that Cuckoo. I know there was a couple years that you played Warped
yeah,
Tour, right?
Yeah, yeah. The last year I played, they were on our stage, which was like a et cetera kind of stage. And then we did a club tour that fall after Warped Tour, and then we went to UK. And so they were like, hey, we're doing it again. You want to come? And I said, yeah. I mean, I love them, and it's super fun working with them. So they, and Brian booked all these shows himself, Brian from Cuckoo Kangaroo, which is incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I also, it's kind of funny that we're sitting at Canal Club in Richmond, Virginia right now. And this is a club where I've seen like Municipal Waste and Andrew WK and like all these metal and punk rock bands play. And there's all these kids running around, and but there's still a bar, and nobody acted up, for sure. But this is, like, known as being a rock and roll venue.
Yeah.
And to see, like, a kids-focused tour, that's definitely interesting. But have you, on tour, made the mistake of saying the wrong thing during a set? Or that maybe said a word that you would say during a adult-oriented show that...
Well, my stuff is all pretty, like, PG, PG-13.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really swear much. There's some lyrics I changed, like on True Player For Real, the line where he's hitting on the girl and, like, says that kind of misogynist line. Like, I don't say that anymore, and I don't... And I change it to be, like, a conversation between two friends.
Yeah.
Or, like, in that song I say, damn the man. So when I do the Cuckoo, I say, darn the man. So
okay.
I take it PG-13 to make it PG and G.
But it sounds like there's only a couple tweaks that you got to do. It's not...
Yeah. There's a lot. But, like, when I have a line, like, what's in the... Flow Like Poe, I say, up in the club, watch me holler, Richard Daughter. I go, give it up for Mr. Raven. Like, I know where those lines are, so I just make the crowd interact so they don't know it. But people come up, people who see me before, like, go, oh, I see what you did.
That's
so
awesome.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. I've, one time I have my Hamlet song, is kind of inappropriate. And I played it for a grade school, and teachers weren't happy. And I was like, oh, Shakespeare is not necessarily all ages.
Well, to be fair, Hamlet is not exactly appropriate either.
It's dark and very, yeah, very violent and maybe not for, like, fourth graders.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. Now, are you planning on doing a lot of stuff in the future with Cuckoo, or do you have another tour planned outside of this tour moving forward?
Yeah, Cuckoo and I will be going to UK and Europe in the spring. And then I'm doing MAGFest, which is like a DC gaming festival.
We just did a GUI. We did a local kind of auxiliary MAGFest thing in Richmond recently with a bunch of video games and everything. So we've already told everybody about the Baltimore thing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of gamers that listen to us.
That's cool. I've heard it's great. I've never been, so that's going to be fun. And other than that, I'm really not touring much next year. But I'm on Patreon putting out new songs. And this year's been a lot. I wasn't going to be touring a lot this year. I ended up doing like 3 or 4 months on the road. So,
but that's good. That means there's demand there. So
definitely, yeah. And it's like these days, like I don't do tours unless it makes sense. And it definitely made sense with these guys. And I think it's cool you came. And I like your questions. They're very thoughtful.
Thank you.
Good interviewer.
Well, I appreciate that. So, do we have any new albums coming out in the future from MC Lars? Do we got any guest spots from Cuckoo Kangaroo on the next record, or is that all kind of in the process?
We just did a Stonehenge song that's on Patreon that I'm gonna put out.
Like a Spinal Tap Stonehenge song, or just about?
I think I referenced Spinal Tap. It's just about all the theories on how it was invented.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's coming, and I'm doing a Roger Rabbit album for the 30th. Anniversary.
I saw that t-shirt downstairs. That is a sick
MC Lars
t-shirt.
Thank you.
Is awesome.
My tribute. It's my favorite movie, so I'm like really happy I get to do an album about it.
It ages really well, that movie.
Yeah, man, and that kind of goes back to what we're talking about, how like it's like the creative goal with the nerdcore stuff is to make stuff that will age.
Mm-hmm.
Literature, I found, does, like, but songs about like social media and current technology don't, because like things change so fast. But like Roger Rabbit is a timeless movie, because and that movie's timeless because they use such amazing practical effects that don't look dated, you know? And I think like that's kind of my inspiration to make every song like that movie, and that you can appreciate 30 years later, hopefully.
Well, and we talk about that on the podcast all the time, that practical effects, not just in effects, but like in your tropes that you use in your films and songs, if you make it like accessible on a human level as opposed to a time dated kind of reference, then it's going to be timeless.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of those classic, like the Bruce Campbell movies, are fun because they still are so ridiculous and they look great though still.
Yeah, that's for sure. Cool. So I saw that you're doing stuff with Patreon where it's two songs a week. Is that what you're doing?
Two songs a month.
Two songs a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's, I've been doing that about a year. There's about 40 on there. So if you go to patreon.com/MCLars, you get all the 40 songs that are up, and then I keep doing them. So that's fun. I mean, that keeps me creative, and that's like a really cool site.
Well, that kind of stuff, the Patreon stuff, is why we get such acts as like you and Jonathan Colton and all these artists that have started internet and became sensation outside of that because of fans that really found them and showed up the shows and donated online. So
yeah, man,
it's important to support the artists that you appreciate and throw a little bit of money that way in order to get more art out of these people.
And all the curators of culture and interviewers.
Oh, no, interviewer is nothing. Interview is people that aren't good at anything, but just appreciate good art. That's all that an interviewer is. So I appreciate you sitting down with me and talking about like the show and kind of what's happening in the future. I'm going to make sure to put the links on for your Patreon and everything else happening. And,
cool, man.
And
thank
we'll hopefully see you next time you come through Richmond, man.
You!
Appreciate
good
it.
Talking to you.
You too, man.
GUIPodcast.com